Thank you, worship team. Man, I appreciate our worship team. Summer months are really challenging on our worship team because there's, people are on vacation and gone and all of this, and you pull out the Siegel family on vacation, and that's three members of our worship team right there. And, so we appreciate them and so honor them, and we honor all of you guys. Just so thankful. It's easy. If I'm not here, man, I can just get Nick or James or somebody to jump right in, or Lisa and fill in the teaching and all that. But when you've got a group and a unit, it makes it more challenging. And so I'm just so thankful for them and their heart. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. I want to, throw some heat at you this morning. I've had a tremendous, tremendous week in the Lord. Our schedule has been ridiculous ever since we got back from Patagonia, but it's been good. And the Lord's just been rocking our world with some stuff. And I want to release some things this morning and throw some things out there for you this morning. Lord, we just declare blessings over our kids and children's church. Everything that we declared over BBS, we declare over it them today, this morning, in this hour. Bless the teachers. The Lord asked me a real profound question this week, and out of that immediately began to spin something that I wanted to share and release to the church. I'm glad you Blake House guys are here today. Always awesome to have y'all. We love y'all. Appreciate you guys. One reason I love Wednesday nights, but one reason I love Wednesday nights so much is because you guys are always here with us on Wednesday nights. I do, and man, I would prepare and study and come if y'all were the only ones here. And it's just a joy and a privilege for God to allow me and us in this house to be able to pour into you guys. And, if it's a 10-month period or if it's a 20-month period or whatever that looks like. And y'all are part of this house. Y'all are a part of this house. If you're new to the Blake House, man, we love you guys. And we believe in tremendous things for your lives as well. A few weeks ago, we were doing some study on the Kinsman Redeemer. Did y'all get some of that Kinsman Redeemer study? Y'all got some of that? My Wednesdays and Sundays run together because they're the same to me. I don't try to bring an A sermon on Sunday and a B sermon on Wednesday. To me, Wednesday night is just as profound or more significant than Sundays are a lot of times. And so they kind of run together. But we were doing some teaching recently on the Kinsman Redeemer. God has got Lori and I on this path, this journey in our faith that has just been blowing up the last several years. We've been serving in ministry for 30 years now, and it's been a good journey. It's not always an easy journey. But I always say something in the business world: if it was easy, everybody would do it. And the thing that will separate you in life is your heart, your hunger, your willingness to press in when it's not easy to press in. In business, that might look like customer service. One of the biggest things that will separate you in the business world, I'll teach y'all something on this right now. One of the biggest things that will separate you in the business world is customer service. it's doing the little stuff. It's doing the little stuff, and sometimes doing the big stuff, and that's going to separate you. And as we come in our lives, and we say, when our yes gets louder and our yes gets stronger and it resonates from down in here, then it carries us through whatever the season looks like. We've been on this journey for 30 years in ministry and all of that, and it's glorious, man. I look back on it and I'm like, God is glorious, because I look at the people that are impacted and I look what God's done in us. But things started shifting with us about 7 years ago when I turned 50, and there was just a shift in who we are as kingdom people. There was a shift in God's mandate on us. It's almost like He turned up the heat in a good way. He started turning up the heat, and with that, it seemed like that burned off some veils. And now in the last year or two, God has really been accelerating things. And that's perhaps what has me excited the most, Paul, is the acceleration rate. At the beginning of this year, the Lord told us, he said, I'm going to launch you out into some new areas. And the word that he gave me was not like, I'm going to toss you up in the air and let the wind carry you. That's how most of us want to do. You know, we want to sit around with acoustic guitar and sing Kumbaya and all of that stuff and feel warm and fuzzy. But the visualization that he gave me was, I'm going to propel you like a rocket. And that's not a thing of, I'm going to propel you like a rocket in fame or notoriety or anything like that, because I could absolutely care less about all of those things. But he said, I'm going to send you out like a rocket and accelerate things in kingdom purposes and kingdom trust and kingdom use and all of that. And so we've said yes to that. And it's really been amazing the last year and a half. God has shifted us into a place to where, I used to say that I even declared this over my daddy when I preached my daddy's funeral, is I just want to live a well-lived life. At the end of this thing, I just want to say that I want them to be able to stand up and preach my funeral and say, man, he lived a well-lived life. And God asked me, is that all you want? Is all you want is to say you lived a well-lived life? And I, you know, it was kind of like one of those, well, Lord, only you know, so please tell me. And please teach me and all of that stuff. And he began to talk to us about an extraordinary life and how his heart and his desire for us is for an extraordinary life. How many of y'all know that usually you believe more for your kids than your kids believe for themselves until they reach a certain point when they're little? I guarantee you I believe more for my five grandchildren than they believe for themselves right now. And Father God is saying and doing and speaking that thing, those things over us in our lives. And the thing is for us just to come in and begin to come in agreement with heaven and believe what heaven is saying about us and for us and the desire of his heart for us. I love that one line in the song that we sang a while ago, Good Grace. And it says that he is madly in love with us. He is madly in love with us. And so I've really embraced that in my life, you know. And I kid around with some folks, and I said, man, y'all know I'm God's favorite and all of that stuff. And everybody kind of laughs and all that stuff. I really believe that. I mean, I really, really do. And if you don't, then something's wrong with you. If you don't believe that for your life. And you say, man, well, experience teaches me otherwise. Then the transition that needs to happen in your life is the transition from, I have heard of who you are, but now I am seeing who you are. And so that's really my heart and my prayer and a lot of my thrust in teaching for this house and everything. And in the process that we're in about us living an extraordinary life and all of that stuff, it's really coming down to a thing where God is placing a mandate on us to redeem the planet. And I know, boy, that's a broad stroke of a brush, isn't it? But if you listen to a lot of the teaching that's been coming out for the last 6 months out of here and all of that stuff, if you want to think small of your life, go ahead, but I'm not thinking small for my life. Because I don't serve a small God. I don't serve a God that has a lid on who he is and what he can do and what he can accomplish. Probably the most advice I'm giving to people right now, and we sit in our living room last night with Bruce and Jen and their two daughters, and Ashley's here with us today, and I really honor that family. Man, I love that family. Ashley, you're so blessed to be a part of a kingdom family. I know sometimes it may not feel like it. You're like, man, we're jacked up. You know, every family feels like that sometimes, but you're so blessed to be part of a kingdom family. And as we were in talking with them and just sitting and praying and all of that stuff before we, you know, called it a night and everything, one thing, and I give this advice to nearly everybody that I touch, I said, position yourself, whether it's career or whatever, so that there is not a lid that is going to contain you and control you and limit what God can do in you and through you. Your career path, and that's why I believe God's raising up so many entrepreneurs right now. I believe that's the heart of him, is raising up creativity and entrepreneurs and all of that, so you don't have all these lids in your life that say, I can go this high and this is as high as I can go. And so God's put this thing on our life to come in and to redeem the planet, the cosmos, not just people, but the land and everything else. And so, man, I really feel like we're on this fast track to doing that. And so we come in and we've been doing some teaching on the Kinsman Redeemer. And without going in and spending 2 hours teaching the story of Ruth, is everybody, just go ahead and humor me. Raise your hand if you're familiar with the story of the Kinsman Redeemer. But most everybody in here, you're familiar with the story of the Kinsman Redeemer. Basically, in a nutshell, back in the when God established Israel as a nation and all that, He came in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all of these the Pentateuch, these five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, and He gave them the law. And really quickly, part of the law that He gave them was the thing that if you fell into, I'll say, disrepair. If you fell into a place of hard times financially, if you fell into a place of hard times and different things, and you lost your inheritance. You lost your inheritance. God set up some safety nets, and some of them look like the year of Jubilee. Some of them look like the kinsman redeemer. He set up these safety nets for you to be able to come in and get these things back. Don't ever think that it's too far gone. Because there's a year of Jubilee. I don't care how bad it, and without getting into this teaching, there's a year of Jubilee happened every 70 years. It didn't no matter how deep and how far you had lost every bit of your inheritance, and that year of Jubilee came in, you know what? You were getting it back. And everybody that came in and might have purchased that land knew that at the year of Jubilee, it was reverting back to the heir, that it was their land. And the enemy comes in, man, and he does a good job of deceiving you and I and telling us that it's too far gone and it's his now. But the thing about it is he knows that he has lost the keys. He's lost the keys to death, hell, the grave. He has lost the keys, the title deed to planet Earth. It's not his anymore. Jesus said, I love one thing that Bill Johnson says when Jesus said, all power is given unto me. So if Jesus got all power, guess who has none? He didn't say, I've got a majority, I've got 51% now. He said, all power is given unto me. So everything is under his feet. So God wants us to walk in the capacity that things are under our feet. All right? And so, man, that's just a, like I said, I could spend months and months and months listening to podcasts, to teaching that's been coming out of here, been coming out of Bethel, been coming out of Hope Chapel, all of these places. Somebody asked me, how was the worship conference in Texas? And I said, man, it was awesome. They were like, well, did you get any fresh revelation and all that stuff? I said, no, I got a lot of confirmation of stuff that God has already been speaking to us for the last 6 months, the last year. I loved it. Robert Madu got up and preached the exact same sermon that I'd preached in here 2 weeks before. Linda Carter said she got in and started listening to that, and she said, I just pulled out your notes and the notes I'd taken from your sermon, and she said, I just continued with your notes and just kept writing notes. And so God is releasing something in the church. And it's not just to one or two people. God is coming in, and God is wanting people to say, now my eyes are seeing you. And that's to everybody in this house, and that's to you guys, and that's to all of us, no matter where we are in this process of the journey of the station in life. And so the story of the kinsman redeemer is that there was a man named Elimelech, and he had a wife that's name was Naomi, and they had three sons. And there was a famine, and they were from Bethlehem area. And there's just some cool stuff I won't have time to get into tonight about the land that was redeemed. But hello, David, playing a harp. Hello, shepherds, and all of this stuff. But anyway, they fell into hard times, and they lost the land. They went into Moab. The sons took some Moabite wives, some Gentile wives. And while they were there, the patriarch Elimelech, he died. So all of a sudden, Naomi's a widow. And then in this process of them being there, the three sons died. So all of a sudden, all of the males in this family have died and are gone. And you've got mother-in-law, and then you've got daughter-in-laws. And she tells them, she said, I have nothing for you. I have nothing for you. Everything that I have is gone. And so just go back to your people. And one of them named Ruth, she said, I'm not going. I'm clinging to you. I've grasped something about covenant. I've grasped something about kingdom, even though I don't even understand that verbiage yet. But there's something that I want to attach myself to. I want to tell you something, guys. You need to get around a community. You need to get around people that are walking in deep covenant with Yahweh. And the residual, the oil that flows into your life will be amazing. The biggest mistakes that I have made in life, the biggest, absolute biggie. Y'all know what my biggest failures have been? Allowing myself to get hooked up to the wrong people in a few instances. Biggest mistakes I've ever made. Allowing myself to get hooked up with the wrong people. And I'm like, God, I want you to raise up a people I want you to surround me with the people, connect me with the people that are going to the iron will sharpen the iron, and then that we can push them and they can push us, and we can undergird them and they can undergird us, and we'll chase after God together. And Ruth recognized this. Some of you guys, y'all need to put proper weight in relationships and connections, and y'all need to gravitate to some that is going to change your life. You need to gravitate to some that's going to change your life, change your trajectory. And so Ruth, she cleaves to Naomi. So long story short, they come back to Bethlehem. Her mother-in-law tells her to go out and glean in a field, because man, they're starving. And the principles then was, if I'm a landowner and it's a wheat harvest going on, I had to allow the poor to come in and glean around the edges of my field. I had to allow them to come in and get the residual, the stuff that was left over. And they couldn't come in and work with my labors, and it wasn't socialistic that I'm giving up all of my crop and all that. It was generosity. I can usually tell if I'm in revival, personal revival in my life, by my levels of generosity. When my levels of generosity are way up here, that's usually a good litmus. That's the canary in the coal mine that I'm experiencing revival in my life. And so that was God's heart. And so, the poor could come in. And so she went in and she started gleaning in this field. And as the story, unfolds, it's the field of a kinsman of Ruth's father-in-law, Elimelech. And she finds favor in this guy's sight. And his name's Boaz. She desires more. She wants more than just, Lord, let me live on the fringes and let me get the scraps. She said, I want more. And I believe God's stirring in the church community. I believe God's stirring in the house among people that they're beginning to desire more than just, I want a good word and I want good worship and I want good programs and I want a church that's got a good coffee house and I want this and this and this and all of that stuff. But they're saying, man, I want genuine community. I want genuine covenant. I want genuine people that are going to press in for more of Him. That are going to press in and say, man, I want to go deeper in this thing. And I really see, I'm excited about church. I'm excited about church right now. Global church. I'm excited about global church because I see a lot of really, really good stuff happening. And you know, a lot of times we come in and we equate everything to numbers. And you know, you come in here one week and you'll be like, crap, where's everybody at? And you'll come in here next week and say, wow, man, that's awesome and all of that stuff. And we are so, sensitive to the, with our little feelings and all of that of it's gotta be on the crest of the wave or I'm gonna look for another crest of the wave. And I see God doing something deep and God just see Him doing something awesome right now. And so Ruth wanted more and so she approached Boaz, and she said, you're near kin to us. And when she went into the threshing floor, and she laid at his feet, and she took his covering, and there was no, she didn't seduce him or anything like that. So get your little worldly mindset out of here. You know, she didn't come in and seduce him. And he was like, wow, man, she's a great lover. I got to marry that girl. But she simply came in, and she said, I want more. And I want to tell you something, guys. If you want more of God, it's as simple as me pressing in and saying, God, I want more of you. I desire deeper with you. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to make myself vulnerable before you. I'm going to lay at your feet. And if you will allow me, I'm going to pull up the skirt of your robe and I'm going to lay it over me as not only a symbolic act, but as a faith act that God, I want to fall under your covering. I did that to another level a couple years ago when we claimed Isaiah 60, 61, and 62 as our verses. You know what? There's probably another 3 million believers in the world that have claimed Isaiah 60, 61, and 62 for their verses. And the beauty of it is it's applicable for every one of us. Because if Marty and Krista Smith come in and they say, man, Isaiah 60, 61, and 62, that's in my life. Then it can be just as real and just as powerful. You think that God's got one skirt of His robe that He can put over one person? And we've had that mindset. And we're like, ooh, if I just had the anointing like so-and-so's got, if I was anointed as ministers, if I was anointed like Stephen Furtick, I love Stephen Furtick, if I was anointed like him, if I was anointed like Damon Thompson, if I was anointed like Bill Johnson, if we just had a church community like Bethel, and I go ahead and tell you guys, folks, I love the Bethel culture. We are a part of the Bethel culture, but Bethel culture has people gets frustrated and leaves their church every week just like we do. And just like First Baptist in Buckhannon and Tallapoosa and Bremen and everywhere else, people will come and people will go, but the people that God will make are the people that are willing to come in by faith and lift up His skirt and lay it over them and say, God, I want more. And so she did this. And you know what? Boaz said yes. He said yes. But he said, there's something I have to do. And he blessed her as he went out. He blessed her while he was doing some behind the scenes work. But the problem with this, and it wasn't really a problem, but just the reality of this, and this is where we are this morning. And did I ask y'all to go to verse 4? Chapter 4, verse 4. Go to verse 4. The reality of the situation here was that there was one nearer to Boaz as far as nearer kin to Elimelech. And it went by the closeness of kin on who could redeem something. And so Boaz said, I would love to redeem you and I would love to redeem this, but there's one nearer than me and I've got to give him opportunity to redeem this. And so that's where we pick up in the story this morning. Boaz goes to this unnamed man. You want to listen to some great teaching over last Friday night at Hope Chapel. Brother Damon does a wonderful job talking about this. He said, there's one nearer though, and I've got to see if he is willing to redeem you and to redeem the land. You have to redeem the land before you can redeem the people. Study the Word. And we've forgotten the land and bailed on the land, and we just want to reach the people, and God's called us to redeem it all. Brother Marty, God did not call you and Krista. Krista did not call y'all to just redeem the people of Honduras. He called y'all to redeem the nation of Honduras. So let there be a shift in your mindset. We just want to go love on the people and love on the people. And that's awesome, but God's called you to redeem the land. You say, man, what does that look like? God's going to show us. God's going to show us what that's going to look like. God's in the process of showing us these things. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard. All right? Amen. Unimaginable. Amen. And so he goes to this guy and he says, hey man, he said, you know our brethren, Elimelech, has died, his sons have died, and his widow wife, Naomi's come back. And they need redeeming. Their land needs redeeming. She needs redeeming. And you're the closest of kin. Will you redeem her? And he says, yeah, man, I'll redeem that land. That's awesome. He knew Naomi was an older woman, and so there was no, really, all she had to do was just, you know, take care of her in that aspect. And but then Boaz comes in. He said, but there's only one catch to this. There's this young lady named Ruth, and she goes along with it. And he says, wow, oh, okay, wait a minute. That's a game changer for me. He said, I can't redeem it then if Ruth is attached. And we don't know why all he may have turned down the opportunity to redeem it. Maybe he didn't want covenant relationship. Maybe he didn't want family. Maybe he was real religious and didn't want a Gentile bride. I have seen a lot of people come in and have a radical encounter with God in revival services that I have been a part of, and then go back to perhaps their lack of faith church or their mainline denomination and all of that, and the exact fire and encounter they had with God got short-circuited because they were not willing to go to further places that they've ever been before. And perhaps this guy was sitting here saying, ooh, man, I'd kind of mar my reputation. I really ain't wanting to, I don't even like them Moabites, you know. They don't shave their armpits and they don't take baths and they're kind of smelly and all of this. And I just don't know. I grew up disdaining all of these other people groups. And so I really can't, I'm not interested in redeeming that. We got to learn to fall in love with, and I'm not, man, that was a poor choice of words. I've been falling right back into it. We've got to fall in love with all of these other people groups before we can redeem them. Instead of viewing the Muslims as enemies, we got to view them as redeemable people. And I wasn't saying Muslims are smelly and all of that stuff. I'm just using the illustration of the Moabites. I don't know what the Moabites were like. But we've got to try to clean up, pile up a pile of poop. we've got such a, I got to quit despising liberals before I can redeem liberals. And that's hard for me sometimes. Because my most gracious thing, some of these that want to release all this socialism into our country, at my most gracious place, I want to punch them in the throat. And that's my most gracious place. And God says, how about holding their hand and releasing kingdom into them? How about instead of wanting to burn down an abortion clinic, how about releasing such a grace that it gets turned into a PRC? And for whatever reason, this one guy failed to have the desire to redeem Ruth. And I'm like, boy, you missed out. Because you know what? Seed was in Ruth. Seed was in her. Do you know what was locked up in her womb? This cat named Obed. You know the first thing that was going to come out of her after she entered into a place of union was Obed. And Obed was David's grandfather. And he was Jesus' great, 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 great grandfather. And instead of us never knowing this guy's name, you know who we talk about all the time? Boaz. Boaz. Because then Boaz comes in and this guy says, I can't. So Boaz says, I can. And I'm so thankful for Boaz's yes. And I was spending time and I was meditating on this. Let's read this scripture right quick. And then I'm going to throw out God's question and we're going to run with it. Verse 4. This is Boaz speaking, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it, but if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. That's when he thought it was just the land. Verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Different sermon for a different day. And the kinsman said, all of a sudden from verse 4 to verse 6, there was a big shift. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Man, I can't ruin my reputation. I can't ruin my good standing in the community. My golfing buddies would think different of me if they knew I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believed in some of this crazy stuff. I wouldn't be as accepted in culture and society and all that. I would lose my acceptance. I would mar my own inheritance. He said, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee, so he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's. I circled the word bought. I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, that was Naomi and Elimelech's son, have I purchased to be my wife. Don't get all weird on me right there, but he says, I have purchased her also to be my wife, because when you redeem the land in this, you redeem what went with the land. You redeem the people groups that went with the land. You redeem the seed that went with the land. And so he got her too in the deal. So he said, I purchased her to be my wife. He showed his intention right there though. He said, I didn't just purchase her to be a part of my household, because Naomi was now a part of his household. But he didn't redeem her to be his wife. He redeemed her to take care of her. But he redeemed Ruth for more. And a question we have to ask ourselves is, what is our intention in redeeming? I'll be honest with you. First time I went on a mission trip, I went on a mission trip because I'd always wanted to and all that. But really, the first time that I went on a mission trip was really to make me feel better about myself. I know all y'all righteous and Jesus first cousins and all that, and that's never been y'all's intention. But Marty, I'll be honest, first time I went, it was to make me feel better about myself. There's some things I needed to punch on my spiritual bucket list. And I wasn't a complete Christian until I did some of these things. But boy, after that first time, God captured my heart. He captured my heart. And what we need to realize and what we need to let sink deep within us is we come in and we say, man, I want to redeem the planet and I want to redeem people and I want to redeem this stuff. Man, it has got to be, I want to redeem this because I want to marry myself to it. I want to marry heaven to it. I want to marry heaven to it. And he says, I have taken her to be my wife. You know what God's heart is for you? Can I throw something, make a big splash for you guys on something right now? You think God redeemed you just to enhance your life? Most people think that God redeemed them to accessorize their life and punch a ticket to heaven one day. So heaven would be this big happy place where everybody's running around and worshiping Jesus. And so God needed to populate heaven, so I'm going to die on the cross so I can accessorize humanity's life and so that I can populate heaven. He said, no, that's what Boaz did with Naomi. You know what I redeemed you for? So I could marry myself to you. And you need to get that mind in you that he is madly in love with you and he don't want to be your best friend. He don't want to be your homeboy. He wants to be your groom. He wants to marry you with the express intent of intimacy with you that produces seed. The express intent of intimacy with you that produces seed, that reproduces something. If there was a couple, they got married and they had a platonic relationship. No intimacy whatsoever. We would say that's a jacked up marriage right there. That's not, I wouldn't even call that a marriage. I'd say, man, y'all just cohabiting as friends. Y'all just best friends, ain't you? And we've got to realize that there's a differentiation in kingdom and heaven. When God comes in and he wants to redeem you, he doesn't redeem you just so you can escape hell. He redeems you because he wants to marry himself to you. And when he marries himself to you, intimacy produces something. Come on, somebody. And that's what he's looking for is a people right now that will say yes to intimacy. He's looking for a people that will say yes to a wedding proposal. And stop saying, I just want to be a servant in the kingdom and I just want to be a good soldier for God and all of that stuff. Man, that pales in comparison. That's a hireling mindset. Did that leave a ripple with anybody? Shift your mindset, dude. God's constantly, my mind's getting transformed right now. My mind is getting transformed right now. Eric, everything about my life is getting transformed right now, and it starts with the way that I understand and know God, because when I change the way I see and understand and know Him, it changes the way I see and know myself. And that defines how I walk this stuff out. And so he comes in and he says, I'm going to take her as my bride to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. And I'm like, woo, glory, yay, God. So I'm out there in the pasture and I'm meditating on this week and thinking about and talking with God about this week. And God asked me a very, very, very huge question. He said, it is awesome that Boaz said yes to redeeming when the no-name guy said no to redeeming. But the question he asked me, he says, what if Boaz had not had the resources in place to restore her? Let it sit. Let it rest. Let it land on you. He can have a great heart, but if he doesn't have the resources, he couldn't redeem her, Randy. If we want to run around in this life and think we want to redeem stuff, but we do it with empty tanks. And I'm not talking about just finances. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about it in every level. How many of y'all in your natural life have missed opportunities and you saw that they were opportunities, but you did not have the resources to pull the trigger on the opportunity that was in front of you? Anybody ever had that? Man, that was a great deal on that land. If I just had the money, I'd have bought that land. Motley Fool told me that stock was going to take off, and if I'd had the money, I would have invested, and then instead of buying 100 shares, I'd have bought 10,000 shares if I just had the money. And then you see the stock double and triple, and you go back and you say, how many times has that happened, Randy? A bunch. And we say, I knew it was an opportunity, but I did not have the resources in place. And the message that God wants me to release today is getting ready for redemption. Preparing for redemption. Thank God Boaz was a man and he was sitting on God. I began to think the little phrase, locked and loaded. That's an old phrase that goes back to an M1 rifle. Certain things that you had to do so you could put the clip in and all of that stuff. It's not, it ain't talking about your Glock and all that stuff. Originated back then with the M1, I think it was. But that phrase, locked and loaded. And we go through life and we miss kingdom opportunities. We miss opportunities to be a kinsman redeemer because we are not sufficiently prepared. Just so you won't think I'm all talking about money, and I'll go there in a few minutes if we have time, if Holy Spirit leads. But over in Mark 9, there's a story about Jesus, and he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they go up, and they have a lot of crazy stuff that happens. I say crazy. It was all natural to Jesus, but it's crazy to us. He's just speaking with Moses and Elijah and everything. And, you know, they're having conversations. And Peter, James, and John are flipping out. And they're saying, man, this is amazing. Let's build an altar for Jesus and Elijah and Moses and all that. And Father God steps in and says, man, come on, dude. This is my beloved son. And when the fog, they were kind of like, whoa! And it said they saw only Jesus. So needless to say, Moses and Elijah didn't get their altar built. But they come back down off the mountain after this amazing encounter and this amazing thing that was taking place and all of this. And there's this huge crowd of people that are gathered together here. And as soon as Jesus comes down, they start pressing into Jesus. And they're like, that Jesus, man, we're glad you're here. Your disciples are here. And I have got a child that is demon-possessed. Now we just say, let's throw some medication at it. But he said, this child is demon-possessed. And he's having these seizures. And it throws him into water. And it throws him into fire. And he tries to kill himself and all of this stuff. And it's at the demon eye. And we came to your disciples because there was 9 of them here. 3 are with you, but there are 9 here. And we asked them to cast this demon out of my son. And the whole crowd's saying this. And Jesus comes in and he says, oh, you little faith. And he gives them a nice gentle rebuke, loving and gentle rebuke, and says, oh, you little faith. And then he comes in and he said, he cast the demon out of the boy and says, return no more. I love that. He cast the demon out and then declares, return no more. See, some of y'all, when y'all have victories, y'all forget to tag that on the end of your victory. You have breakthrough, but you forget to tag that on the end of it. Return no more. Return no more. And so everybody's happy, but then his 9 disciples come up to him. And I'm sure Peter and James and John are sitting there saying, man, we've been up there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we saw, they forgot to leave the fact they got rebuked by Yahweh. But you know, we've been hanging out and we saw all these amazing things, and y'all guys couldn't even cast a devil out or anything like that. So I'm sure there was some locker to room trash talk that was going on with all that. But the 9 disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast that devil out of that boy? And he very matter of factly, he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. It comes at a higher price, and you were not equipped. You did not have the resources at hand in place to cast this devil out of this boy. If it had been lesser, you could have done it, but you did not have the resources in place. In place. In place. So that didn't have anything to do with money. But he said, you didn't have it in place, but I did. Because I've been living a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. I've been in a lifestyle of intimacy with my Father. I've been in a lifestyle that I only do what I've seen Him do and I only say what I've heard Him say. And that's my lifestyle. And so I have that within me in place that I can release those resources. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have missed ministry opportunities because I did not have resources in place. Because I was working off a place of exhaustion. Because I was working off a place of burnout. Because I was working off a place of empty. And I didn't have it in the tank. And we'll come in and we say, I'm not feeling it. Or I'm in a dry season. Or I'm in this place. Or I'm in this place. And I'm in this place. And I want to tell you what we've got to do is we have got to start praying for the gift of hunger that we press in and increase our spiritual calorie intake. I remember the last Olympics, the Summer Olympics that we had a few years ago. And I remember they were, you know, it was a big deal because it was Michael Phelps' last Olympics. Everybody knows who Michael Phelps is, right? If you're on the planet, you should know who he is. Like amazing swimmer, won like a gazillion gold medals, just a freak, of a swimming athlete. And it was his last Olympics. And so they come in and they're doing all this studying, talking to him. I'm not studying. They're talking to him, doing some little cool little documentaries and all that stuff. And y'all know what his calorie intake, how many of you guys, y'all kind of count calories a little bit. Y'all know what his calorie intake was, Box? 6,000 calories per day. 6,000 calories per day. Dude, if I ate 6,000 calories a day, I'd look like Jabba the Hutt off Star Wars. Y'all know who he is, don't you? That's what I'd look like if I had 6,000 calories a day. And the Holy Spirit said, not if you burn 6,000 a day. Michael Phelps was lean. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I was built like that. My abs and shoulders and all that stuff. Like, amazing. And he takes in 6,000 calories a day, and it's because he expends 6,000 calories a day. And the reason he takes in 6,000 calories a day is so he'll be ready to burn 6,000 calories that next day. And we go through life and we are not ready to redeem the stuff, the opportunities that are come in front of us because we are not prepared. And I want to release a word in this house to start shifting your mindset. I believe heaven wants to release a word in this house for us to start shifting our mindset. A mindset of I am preparing myself to redeem the opportunities that come up in front of me. And I think some of that's going to mean getting our finances in order. And I'm not saying you've got to stockpile a ton of money in the bank, but I'm saying you need to get your finances healthy where you can borrow money if the need arises. One person, please amen that. I ain't worried about my credit score. Pay attention to your credit score. Pay your bills on time. Look at your career path. That's a big thing I'm telling young people right now, and it may be freaking out some. You know what my generation was taught? You find a nice, stable career, and you go and you work for, and I'm not knocking anybody that works for these places. That is fine, man. You do you and all that stuff. But you get you a nice, stable job where you can get a nice little check coming in every week and where you can go to the beach twice a year and do this and this and this. The only problem with that, there is such a lid on that. That's why God's raising an entrepreneurial spirit up. Because God wants to blow the lid off some stuff. In finances. Y'all get nervous when I talk. Why do people get nervous when we talk about money in church? Jesus talked about money more than he did pretty much everything else in the Bible. I'm serious. You study it out. You say, I don't believe that, brother. You study it out. Talked about it a lot. And Red, I want us to position ourselves. I want our children to position themselves. I want the children raised up in the house to position themselves to where we are not locked in to this is my lid and this is as good as it's going to get as long as I stay in this path. I want to thank God you open heavens over me and in me. I got amazing permission this week, Randy. Twice. From my wife. We were looking at pictures with Bruce and Jennifer from Patagonia. on a couple different occasions, you know. And of course, I was basking in the glory, and I was like, oh, that's my happy place, man. I go down there and catch big trout and kill stuff and all of that stuff and eat like crazy. And it's just, I think the Garden of Eden originated right around the Chemehuevin River. But me and Lori's kind of got this thing. I'm going somewhere with this. Me and Lori's kind of got this thing to where I don't want to be a selfish guy to where every trip we take has got to be hunting and fishing, you know, that something's going to get caught or shot. And so we kind of got this thing where it's like, all right, every other year, you know, I tell her, I said, I'll take you anywhere you want to go, anywhere on the planet that you want to go, I'll take you. And but then next year, you know what, I get to pick. And you know where I'm picking. So every other year, I'm going to Patagonia. And I was telling Bruce, I was like, man, I could go down there every year. And Lori said something. She said, Michaela, she said, I don't care if we go as long as I get to go where I want to go next year too, in addition to. And I, man, in my mind, that's all I needed right there. And I was already writing the email. I was already writing the email until God started talking to me about preparing, getting prepared to redeem. Because see, there's three pieces of property that's adjoining our farm that I've been claiming for a few years now. And I've been saying, God, I know you're going to give us this property. It's going to cost me. It's not going to be like free, but he's going to give us this to expand our boundaries. And so I've been claiming in my heart, me and Lori have been claiming this and praying for this and all of that. And the Lord asked me, when he's asking me all these questions, he said, if that property came up for sale this week, are you in position to claim it and redeem it? And I'm kind of like, man, I might could make it happen. I'd have to do this and this and scramble and all of this. And so the Lord, he kind of got up in me and he says, how about not thinking about going to Patagonia next year and Italy or wherever we're going to go? How about not doing both, and how about taking some of your resources and getting prepared for some redemption that's going to take place? How about being prepared when I begin to open doors up in Honduras to be able to release some stuff into that? How about getting prepared? This is what I'm talking about, guys, for every one of us. And the scales are different. Because you say, well, man, I'm not at a place where I can operate at the scale that you are right now, Sid, and all that. So that's fine, dude. I had dinner with a billionaire two nights a few weeks ago, and he's on a whole different stratosphere than I am. I can write a $1,000 check. He can write a $1 million check. But we got to learn to be good where we are and faithful where we are. Because your $10 check might be just as big a place of faithfulness as my $1,000 check or his $1 million check. So don't get hung up and say, well, I can't get to that place. Be faithful in what is in front of you. Press in for union. Press in for intimacy. And inherit the fields that God's got you in. And then when you inherit those, then you expand. All right? Everybody receive that? That's a good word. Everybody receive that? And so God challenged me on that. And so you know what I did? Immediately in my mind, and I'm not saying I'm going to stop traveling and taking good trips and all that, but every decision that I make will be with the mindset is how does this affect my readiness to be able to redeem? Every decision I make will be with the mindset weighed in the spectrum of how does this affect my ability to redeem. And I want y'all to get that in your spirit, guys. Because it's the exact same truth. I'm not even going to say principle. It's the exact same truth that we see in Mark 9 with the disciples and Jesus and not being able to cast out that demon. Because Jesus said, I've been willing to pay that price to have that in my tank, and y'all haven't. And I'm not mad at you. I'm teaching you right now. I guarantee you what Andrew did away from that, I guarantee you Andrew's prayer life and fasting life changed after that moment. I'm pretty sure Andrew was the one that evangelized India, wasn't he? Some of y'all that's read Fox's Books of Martyrs. Pretty sure he was. And so we come in and we have this, going back to Hebrews 12, this race that's set before us. I don't want to go through missing every opportunity that comes along. Can I throw one more story on you? It's Bible, so don't get all weird and say, see it quick. Y'all remember the story of Joseph? Everybody remember the story of Joseph? Joseph gets sold into Egypt. He goes down there because he's got the dreams. And he goes down there and he gets cast into prison. Pharaoh has the dreams. He interprets Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh puts him into the number two position in the whole country. The dream that Pharaoh had was there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So Joseph, everything he did was with, every move that he made was with the backdrop of 7 years of famine are coming and there's something I'm going to need to redeem. You know what he told his brothers later on when his brothers came in and man, they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did this. Forgive us for selling you into slavery. And some of them were even wanting to kill him and all of this stuff. And they were really, repentant and saying, man, forgive us and all this stuff. He said, man, don't worry about it, guys. He said, God sent me before you to preserve life. That was his exact words. He said, God sent me before you to what? To redeem the region, to preserve life. God sent me before you. And so Joseph operated as the number two guy in Egypt. With every move that he made was with the backdrop and the mindset that there is redemption that is going to need to take place and I've got to be prepared for it. So I'm pretty sure if my memory's right, I'm pretty sure they took 20% of every year's harvest and they stored it in storehouses. And you know what we'd have done? We'd have done a happy dance around that 100% and said, this is a banner year. And we'd have nothing for the redemption of the harvest. And this is not necessarily about saving. This is about filling your tank. This is about your calorie intakes, what this is really about, guys. That's what it's really about. It's talking about every move that we make with the mindset that God sent me to redeem this planet. There are certain things I won't do on Saturday night. We don't go out much on Saturday night. I like to be studying and getting in the presence and all of that stuff. Some of you guys will fast for particular reasons and all of that stuff. You know what you're doing? You are preparing to be at a point of, you're preparing to be, have things in place when redemption opportunity takes place. So this is a pretty good illustration. I think some of you guys will get this. We like to wing shoot. And I'm a pretty good wing shot. I shoot well in the field. I've gotten better over the years. And one reason that is I'm a good wing shot is when I am going through the field and we're hunting quail or whatever the quarry may be, when we're hunting quail, I go with a prepared state. When I'm walking through and I'm following the bird dogs, my gun is not on my shoulder, breech open. It's not even shells in the gun and it just hanging by my side or me cradling in my arm. At the end of the day, I might cradle it in my arm walking out, but when I am following dogs, you know where it is? It's right here. One reason I'm a good wing shot is because I am quick to shoulder so I can track the birds longer or quicker. Not longer, quicker. So I like to shoot quick. But I have it right here and that way when the flush happens, all I have to do is, and I'm immediately on the bird. I have my thumb on the safety, and I have my trigger finger laid up against the side stock of my gun. So in one motion, I'm going to shoulder, flipping the safety off, finger going to trigger, and my eyes immediately tracking the bird. I'm ready. If I was walking like this and the bird flushed, I guarantee you, you know what would happen? I'd be like, dang, I wasn't expecting that. How many of y'all ever said that in life? I wasn't expecting that. How many times we let a deer get by us, Eric, because we wasn't expecting it at that moment? It's 10:30 in the morning. I'm checking my emails. I really wasn't expecting a buck to come out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, whoa, wow, where'd that come from? And I didn't get a shot on him. And we go through life like that. Here's what has to shift in your mindset. You have to shift in mindset with the thought process that God wants to use me to redeem stuff. Quit thinking God's going to use the anointed pastor or the anointed worship leader, or the book that you gave. I'm all about books, man. I read books. They're great. They're wonderful. But quit expecting Christine Kane to redeem the stuff you're supposed to redeem. And get to a point of preparation to where you say, I'm walking through life knowing Yahweh wants me to redeem things. Land and people. And then when opportunity presents itself, you know what? You have the resources in place to present the gospel, to pray over a need, to show love. I can't tell you how many times I've got on a plane and just be exhausted and sit on the plane and just not even speak to the person next to me the whole flight. And I'm sure I've got, you know what, all stamped on my forehead. And you know what I'm doing? I am not prepared to redeem something that just maybe God wants me to redeem. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So God's releasing a word to shift a mindset this morning. Start preparing, guys. Not just for when y'all get out of Blake House, but for the next guy that's coming in Blake House. You're new, ain't you, brother? Today's the first time I've seen you. I'm Sid. Nice to meet you. What's your name, brother? Nice to meet you, Christopher. God might want to use you to be His finger in redeeming this brother. God might want to use you to be the finger in redeeming this brother. And we have to be in a mindset that not one of these days I'm going to have all of this. But God, what do you have in front of me right now? Who do you have in front of me right now? And God, let me walk through this thing with the mindset that I have the proper resources in place. In place. In place. In place. In place. In place. Man, let's stand to our feet. Tyler, you come up and just start picking a guitar. Amber, you ain't got to do sound, honey. Come on down here. You good, I promise. It's going to be fine. I don't want him to sing. I just want him to play guitar. Such a valuable word for you right now. Such a valuable word for you right now. Young in your life. We're always in a constant state of transition. Always. Not necessarily career, but sometimes career. But definitely people that come into our path. Your husband. Let's break it down and get real right now. Your husband may be facing such an attack of the enemy in the near future. And I'm not prophesying that by any means. And if you do not have resources in place to properly minister to him and undergird him, then you're going to miss an opportunity that God wants to use you to help redeem him. That's how real this gets, guys. Your children. Your children may face stuff, or they may go through stuff, or they may make poor decisions. You got four girls in your house, brother. You say, oh, it's going to be a long time before I have to redeem anything. You don't know what they're going to get sideswiped with next week. So you better live your life with the mindset of preparation so that I will have resources in place. You're starting school quick. You're doing summer workouts right now. You may have a player that may come up to you next week and break down. Say, Coach, my mom and daddy's getting divorced. I don't know how to handle it. I'm full of hurt. I'm full of pain. I'm full of anger. You better have some resources in place to help redeem that boy. You see how real this is, guys? This isn't just about me buying a piece of land or us redeeming a nation. It's about what's next to you. Maybe a little girl breaks up with him and hurts his heart. Probably won't happen. You're super cool, Luke. So, hypothetically speaking. Mama better have resources in place. In place. In place. To where she can minister like only a mama can minister. Or she can intercede like only a mama can intercede. Come on, somebody. Jesus asked his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, can't you even tarry with me 1 hour? Because I believe they were operating out of a place of exhaustion right there. It wasn't lack of heart. They were operating out of a place of exhaustion. You know what they need? If they knew what was coming, maybe they would have stored up. Hello, Mary. In your alabaster box that you've been saving up. She wasn't a hoarder. She'd been saving it for such a time as this. She said, I have resources in place, and now I'm going to anoint him for his burial. Whew, come on, somebody. What resources do you have in place? As men of God, what resources do we have in place? Kingdom men, what resources do we have in place for our wives, brother? I was talking to a brother the other night at the house. His wife had gone through some real, real emotional struggles and all of that stuff and everything. And this is out of his mouth. He told me, he says, man, I didn't handle it well. He said it was a real character reveal for me, and I did not handle it well. And God whispered, he said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not throwing a rock at him or anything, because he's doing well now, and he's rebounding nicely from this. But God said, that's what I'm talking about. When Brian Johnson starts going through panic attacks and anxiety and depression, dark night of the soul and wants to punt on life. I'm not saying it's just avalanche on him. I got his book and I'm reading his book right now, When God Becomes Real. You know who the first person he thinks is? To Jen, my rock. Because she had resources in place. And she said, baby, I'm going to love you through this. I'm going to love you through this, and I'm going to believe when you don't have the faith to believe, and I'm going to stand when you don't have the faith to stand, and we're going to not only survive this, but we're going to redeem this and redeem others through this. What's in place? It's easy for me to say what's in place for Danielle. What's in place for Danielle's mom? This whole thing may be about you redeeming her. The enemy won't let us go there because he wants us to be mad. He wants us to be all about justice. God said, I want us to be all about grace and mercy and love. Because that's what put me on the cross. Justice didn't nail me to the cross. Mercy nailed me to the cross. Grace nailed me to the cross. Love nailed me to the cross. What's getting put in place in there? Because I can promise you there's stuff God wants you to redeem. I've been attracted to you ever since you got in the Blake house. Not in that kind of way, you know. Dante, right? Dante, yes. close. Sorry, I'm terrible on names. So thank God for telling me I got to get better on that. There's stuff God's not only doing in you, but brother, you're a redeemer. And I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about your past. I don't know anything about your background. I don't know anything about your man, your family, your sphere of influence. But the reason that God's doing all this stuff in you, Jonte, is because He is putting things in place that when you finish, however long the time is at the Blake House, but when you finish, that you walk out a new man with something to give. A new man that's got truth, that's got life, that's got the kingdom of heaven operating in his life. And it's going to be in place. And it's going to rock your world, man. I didn't intend to prophesy stuff over it, but it's going to rock your world because you're going to be like, man, I am not worthy to be in this position. And some people will even look at you and say, well, who are you? You just got out of rehab. And you know what Yahweh says? He says, is this not a brand that's plucked out of the fire? He says, this is my beloved and this is my redeemed. That's who you are, Jonte. You're His beloved and you're His redeemed. And He says, I know my thoughts towards you and I know my purposes for you. I know my plans for you. And it's to be a kinsman redeemer. And not only are you going to redeem people, but you're going to redeem land, man. You're going to redeem neighborhoods. See, we think it's got to be on this massive scale, but sometimes it starts in our home. Starts in my backyard. Starts in my backyard. God's going to use you as a redeemer, man. I believe that. I believe that. I see something significant in you, man. I really do. I see something significant in you. There's been an attraction there, and you know what that attraction is? It's deep calling out to deep. Because He's raised me up as a redeemer, and the redeemer in me sees the redeemer in you, and the redeemer in me connects with the redeemer in you. You ain't in here just making eight on Wednesday night. You connecting with the Lord on Wednesday night. I see it. I see it in you. I see it in your heart more than I see it in you. I see it in your heart. It ain't like, man, this is BS. I wish we'd just be doing. I just want to get back and all of that stuff. And what it is, it's heaven calling out to the redeemer that's in you. That's the connection right there. We don't have like interest. I don't know anything about your interest. And I don't know if you like to do those stuff I like to do and all of that. So it doesn't matter. But there's a redeemer calling out to a redeemer. There's a redeemer calling out to a redeemer. So right now you take this time and you let it fill you and equip you and fill your tank. And do it on these brothers. Help redeem them. But when you get out, you will have resources in place. I promise you, you will have resources in place. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say, no, you don't. Because you will have them in place. You just pull from what's in you. That's the only way I know how to preach. That's the only way I know how to minister. Is I just break off what's in me. That's what's going to change her, mama. You're just breaking off the goodness of God that's in Amanda. The goodness of God that's in Marvin. That's it. That's it. I know we want to throat punch them sometimes. I get it. I do too. I want to throat punch church members sometimes. We'll lay hands on you afterwards. Every step that Jesus took was a step of purpose. And that step of purpose was with the mindset and with the backdrop of what can I redeem right here. That's the way I want to go through life. And sometimes it will look like a piece of land. Sometimes it'll look like livestock. I talk to my cows. I do. I drive around on my tractor talking to my land. I do, Chris. I drive around people that if y'all hung out with me, y'all would think I was absolutely nut job. You'd say that boy must have done a bunch of drugs when he was younger. I drive around on my tractor and I tell my land that it's redeemed. I tell it it's not under the curse anymore. I tell them that a kingdom man owns it. And in a kingdom, I believe my land knows when I walk on it and when a stranger walks on it. I believe it does. I believe Honduras feels it when y'all step off the airplane. I do. Well, I know we kid you and say, oh, Marty, you're a rock star. I believe the nation, I believe the land of the nation of Honduras feels it when you step off an airplane and your feet hit the ground. I believe it rejoices and celebrates. And it says the kingdom man's back. I believe it. And it's not just El Tisate. It's Tegucigalpa too. And it's not a necessary evil just so we can get up to where it really wants to happen. God wants to redeem it just like He does the mountain villages. Just like the kids playing on the streets, up on the little dirt roads. But I believe that. I believe it feels it. Both of y'all. Not just Him. I believe it feels it when your feet touch the ground. I believe it rejoices. What you going to redeem this week?
I'd just be a tired husband. Just trying to figure it out. Trying to be a kingdom man. Trying to lead y'all. I'd be a teenage daughter. Especially when all the wolves start coming around. I have to beat them off. That's part of the redemption too.
What are you going to redeem this week? If I can pour anything into you, it's for you to know that I'm the bride of Christ and He's put me here to redeem what's His that I've inherited. And every decision you make moving forward was with that in mind. Who I choose to date, who I ultimately choose to marry, where I choose to live, what I choose to do as a career, where I choose to go to church. Obviously, I want you to go here the rest of your life. But the reason I want you to go here is not because mom and daddy go here. The reason I want you to go here is because I come alive when I come into this place. Holy Spirit makes me come alive. That's my heart for you. That's my part in helping redeem you. That's my part in helping redeem you. Y'all see how this carries to every level? See how it carries to every level? View that lake house as a point of redemption. It's not a getaway where I can escape the world. Maybe it's a place where I can commune with God. Then it's a place where I can redeem people. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It can be a kingdom thing. Big time. How do we use it in our hand? Man, if you need to come to the altar, come on down. It's open. I'm just talking right now. If you need to come, come on down. If you want to take communion.
Let me see. When we were praying over our VBS kids, if you're a teacher or if you're a parent here and you've got kids coming this week, the father told me, he said, one of the most important things we can do this week is, and in our life, is to teach our kids to lead totally on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is to hear His voice and to be led by the Holy Spirit. We can teach them Jesus loves me, that's the first thing, but they've got to learn. They're going to leave our house one day. And the world tells us to raise them up to be independent people, apart from themselves. And that is a lie. They need to stand on their own, but they need to stand on their own with the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're not always going to be in their life when they go into these stores, when they go wherever they go in life. They need the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he said, how do they know that? They need to know that they can hear my voice. And not just the kids, but we have to, I want you to know that you can hear God's voice. It's not just for a select few. Everybody is unique. And everybody has a unique way of hearing. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to close our eyes. And if you have problems, you say, how can I redeem anything? I can't hear him telling me what to redeem. First, you have to hear his voice and know his voice to know what you are to redeem, right? So if you just close your eyes, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. You ask God, I want to hear you, God. How do I hear? Is it seeing? Is it a knowing in my spirit? Is it whatever areas in your life, how do you hear from him? I want to hear from heaven for my life. First, I want to redeem my life. If our life isn't redeemed, we can't redeem anything else. We have to have ourselves redeemed. Amen? So close, say, Father, just teach me how to hear my unique way, in my unique area of life, in my unique sphere of my being. How do I hear from you that I can redeem all that you've set before me? First, myself. And then all the others that are around me. Let us hear your voice. We're going to have a quiet time right now. And I want you to ask God, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me, Father. Speak to me now. Yes? Yes.